people trip over them, like their movement goes into the sidewalk and that can generate green energy for like a city's environment. Yeah, stuff like that.
Do you have a large supply of banana peels we don't know about?
You could.
Yeah, he's just like scoping out ideas and stuff like that.
I like giving people a primer for anything and generating ideas. So we're going to go brainstorm cereal concepts, like breakfast cereal concepts.
Oh, okay.
Over dinner tonight.
Excellent.
So breakfast cereal concepts.
Exactly. All right.
Fully sentient cereal.
Fully sentient cereal, FSC.
It signs a contract saying you can eat it.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Cool.
So what's going on?
So, well, your microphone fell through.
That's actually touching.
Hey, nipple.
Ooh, on film.
Okay, so where?
It fell. It was lifted up, and you put it on the inside.
Am I supposed to put it on the outside?
You're supposed to put the actual head on the outside.
Okay, I see what you did there.
Yeah, so...
All right, that should be like legit now.
Nope. Again, it's, the outside, the other outside.
The outside. Like, yeah, you do it.
Sharper image lock here.
There we are.
That thing is so old it predates the internet. I got it for free, and I actually could not find any information on it.
Wow,
that's awesome.
Okay, cool.
All right, thanks, man.
I guess that's good.
Cool.
Yeah, something like that.
All right. So, first things first. Oh shoot, we didn't do that with Amy. We'll do that when we talk about your bike up there, because I really want to.
Yep.
So, who are you and where are we?
All right. So I'm Charles. I am. Okay. Yeah, I'm Charles, and I am the current president of the MIT Electronic Research Society, which is a student-run, student-operated hackerspace slash machine shop slash electronic engineering space over in the right near the MIT Museum. And we build stuff here. We tinker, we hack, we do all kinds of cool stuff.
So one of the things that I'm asking all the spaces that we go to, I'm trying to figure out why they're using the word hack. What does hack mean to miners or you?
So interesting enough, hacking as a word was actually invented here at MIT, or at least we helped promulgate its use over back in the 1940s, 1950s, back when electronics and computers first, you know, it was in its nascent stages. And to hack nowadays has lots of meanings. You know, to the media, it means evil typing something into a computer in a, you know, a Linux prompt spitting out tons of data, accessing the IRS and stuff like that. To us, it means to explore. And that could mean exploring anything. It could mean taking apart, you know, an appliance, you know, and seeing how it works. It could mean accessing new functionalities of something that wasn't publicized or, you know, wasn't known before. Or otherwise, it's essentially just satiating your curiosity in whichever way that you can imagine, in an environment which is not either necessarily encouraged, goes beyond the rules, or is otherwise not sanctioned.
Cool. So what are some of the things that you've hacked out at MITRE's?
Some of the things I've hacked out at MITRE's. Well, the thing I'm sitting on is perhaps my biggest project. And you guys may or may not have already seen it on the internets. This is the L'Oreal cart. It is a derelict shopping cart made into a go-kart. It's been my pet project for like the past year or so. And it started at MITRE's completely as a pile of parts. Like, I would just put all kinds of parts I found in it because it was just storage. And one day, just all the parts just sort of gravitated together enough to the point where it's just like, go-kart, has to happen. I had wheels, I had like this creepy steering wheel I got off Reuse, which is like a crufty, you know, reclaim used items mailing list, and motors, and the large batteries under there. And so it just all came together in my head. I was like, gotta build this. And that's how a lot of things at MITRE start. You come in here and you just look at the vast amounts of crap that's hanging around, and you get inspired.
I think that's something that you can say about a lot of hacker spaces.
Tape change.
Don't move. No, you can move. Tape change.
My bag.
Yeah, so maybe we can talk about cruft.
Talk about cruft.
Let's talk about
cruft, baby.
Us.
Let's talk about you and me.
How does the tune go?
Flashback.
Let's talk about sex.
What?
You have to independently tighten every one of the teeth on this chuck.
What are you trying to do? Do you just want to hold a round thing?
Yeah.
Take that chuck off and put the three jaw back on.
Be careful when you take it off or you will...
Yeah, you know how...
Your finger is between that and the rail.
Yeah, you know how to take a chuck off, right?
Nope, I don't.
Charles.
I'm clipped at the moment. Amy! Okay. Yeah, just wing it. Actually, I use the chuck to tighten it, so...
What is this, miters / hour interview?
Yeah. So what's the top speed that you thought you could safely go?
Top speed I should safely go is 0 miles an hour. The top speed I have gone is probably about 30. Huh? Yeah, it's low geared. So you can just like wing it, it'll work.
What type of motor is it?
It's a brushed motor. Big DC brush motor.
Yeah.
So have you guys just been like all over the country? Have you been to Freeside, Atlanta?
Mm-hmm.
Baller, how is it?
They're still in build out, but
yeah.
pretty amazing.
I wasn't able to go last time I was in Atlanta, but it's like I've been waiting for a hackerspace in Atlanta for so fucking long.
Is that where you're from?
Yeah.
Right on.
It's like you won't believe how much of a challenge it was for me to like be an engineering, you know, like.
Can we get this on film?
Okay.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
All right, I'll go back and do that. We can go over that part after you do all of your other stuff. Just so, you know, for continuity's sake.
What engineering discipline are you?
Mechie.
High five.
Fuck yeah, man. Mechies. Mechie, learn the gang sign.
Yeah, totally.
I have a feeling that it's a legitimate gang sign, so I don't want to go around flashing.
Such a dissociative leader walking in, it's like, maybe I shouldn't be using these hand gestures.
Actually, you know what? Let's bring this thing out too. Yeah, can you bring the Razor scooter out? That was not smooth.
He's slackered, right?
Oh, sorry about that. What is it stuck on? We can do a little number on this too.
Oh, shit. There's a motor in there.
Yeah, we can do a little number on this too, I guess. I guess after like the hack your own projects together, right, we can move on to the more legitimate projects, and I can show this thing. Smells like Teen Spirit. Hey, Phi Delta dude, you want to hit the vent button? The vent button.
We don't know his name yet.
Yeah, name. Mr. Phi Delta.
Eric.
Okay. And foamy lathe guy.
Adam.
Okay.
Foamy lathe guy.
Yeah. Clorox.
You're taking
robotics, right? 212, yeah.
And
6131, yes. How do you know? Are you in both of them?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. The PSAT? No. Baller. Stay here all night. We'll work on it. PVC turns like shit, and it smells like shit when it does turn.
It smells like chlorine.
You mind if I do the nylon?
What about the nylon? Would I mind? Dude, this is your project. Take some Delrin out of the bin. Delrin's wonderful. Tim, I stole a bunch of rounds from the 2007 scrap pile after the class. So we should have a bunch.
All right.
Woohoo! Let's do the shit, yo.
Yeah, sorry.
What were we talking about just a second before we clipped?
Yeah, we were, Yeah, we were talking about Atlanta.
That was after we clipped.
Yes.
What did we time out?
We were talking about...
Your mid-question, or actually your in-between questions.
Oh, so like it was good timing?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So, how are we talking about Atlanta?
Oh, we were just, that was just us chit-chatting. This was not on the tape.
Yeah, I know, but like, how do we bring up the topic of you looking for actors in Atlanta?
Well, so, my hometown is Atlanta, and growing up in suburban Atlanta, which is like upper white middle class suburban soccer momville, being interested in engineering means you really had very few resources. Like, I actually started the first robotics team at my high school back in 2005. I just wanted to do something related to engineering, and there was no outlet, so to speak. And so in Atlanta, I think there's a dearth of engineering resources. So I'm very glad to hear that outside of Georgia Tech, there is now like a group of people who are just building stuff, you know, and hacking away for fun. And this is something I wanted to start in Atlanta if no one else had after I graduated. So it's good to see that someone pick up the ball before me. And I wish them luck and hope to see you guys there, I guess.
Cool. Yeah, so really, like, you're looking to bring MITRE's back home with you.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the MITRE's southern headquarters, you know, stuff like that. Okay. Unfortunately, they're at Georgia Tech, which is the other school I was going to go to before MIT offered me a deal I couldn't refuse. I don't think there's an equivalent of MITRE's. There's a shop. There's like a shop for teams and activities, but there's no club that actively uses it.
What do you think makes MITRE's unique then?
So I think what makes MITRE's unique is that we have the blessing of a large institution. A lot of these hackerspaces, I commend their effort because they are working with a group of people who are dedicated to this and who must personally contribute resources to maintain the club. Like, you gotta rent out space, gotta buy the equipment, you know, people's gotta pay dues. And I'm glad that we have MIT behind us because we get the space more or less for free. We're in the center of a huge tech area, so we get lots of cool stuff for free. And I think like that really, really helps the culture here because it's stuff you already have and stuff that's easily available. And I think sometimes I feel like I'm taking it for granted because it's just so easy. But I appreciate the effort that so many other hackers are doing across the country and across the world to bring like engineering out to just everyone instead of academics.
Yeah, I gotta let you know, man, it's really awesome to see these spaces.
Yeah, I didn't know there were so many hacker spaces around the US until I heard you talking to Amy about there being like 100. I knew there were a few in big cities, but I didn't know there were so many.
No, they're like this last June, this last spring, we have some ideas.
Explosion.
Spaces.
They're multiplying.
Explosion.
Hacksplosion. Hacksplosion. There you go. All right.
So I guess one of my questions is why are you so driven to make? Why are you so driven to, like, you can call it playing. Like, why are you so driven to play make?
I honestly don't know. It's just something that sort of grows within you. I don't think everybody has the same characteristic or the drive to make. I just have an unusually strong desire to think of cool things, and then having resources, I'll try to make them.
Cool. Can you name 10 things that are cool? I can name one. T-lasers. Go.
Okay. Let's see. Abrasive water jets, number one on my list, number one cool thing, because I use it to make just about everything now. Brushless DC motors, the highest power per weight ratio you can get in motors essentially today. The electric vehicles that use these things, you know, carbide end mills. God, I love those things. They can go through anything. And on that same tangent, 5-axis computer-controlled milling machines, because you can make anything with those carbide end mills. lithium iron phosphate batteries, the highest power per weight ratio batteries you can make today. Bikes, because they're so easily hackable and just so there's just so many parts available for them that you can do crazy things. Programmable microcontrollers, definitely huge, and finally, like, an electronic item on my list. I appreciate their existence because they're so easily configurable that if you mess up, you just recode and do it again. Let's see what else? And other awesome hackers. Because if it weren't for other awesome hackers, I wouldn't know half the stuff I know now.
So let's just talk about that for a second. What about for you? Who were some of the people that you learned from at MITRE's?
So The infamous Star Simpson, the lovely and wonderful Star Simpson, she taught me a lot. She was president of MITRE's in the, like, kind of between my freshman and sophomore year. And she, like, represents to me the kind of hacker slash engineer that MIT should make more of. So I have to say, she was my number one inspiration. She's very just out there, you know? Otherwise, pretty much everyone that comes through, I can pick up something about. Like, the guys who build mopeds here, along like Mars and crew, all the time, they are machining moped parts, and I'd ask them about mopeds and how mopeds work. So if you can ask me a question about mopeds, I might be able to answer it, actually, even not having touched a moped myself. So that's the cool thing. Like, you can learn from anybody.
I guess that's one of the cool things about hackerspace is they bring in together a whole diverse set of people into the same space.
Right. Not only do you have resources, you know, if you don't know how to use those resources, there's people. You know, there's mental resources that you can use also.
Cool. You were talking about the attitude within Star Simpson that you really appreciated. You thought you should make more of. What is that attitude?
I wish I could quantize it or describe it. It's just that drive, like what I mentioned earlier, that drive to make a cool thing that you just thought of. It's the desire to tinker, to hack, to, you know, create, to innovate, to use a big word.
Innovate.
Innovate.
Do you really think right. innovation can happen when you're modifying a shopping cart to a go-kart?
Well, so you notice a lot of things I listed off in my list of cool stuff is electric vehicle technology. Half the reason I'm doing this is because I want to learn more about electric vehicle technology and what's out there. And sure, like a DC brush motor and just an analog controller, that's not innovative, but it's new to me and I haven't known about it before, and from there I could conceivably do something innovative. But, you know, if we're talking innovation, I think this here, this is my wheel motor scooter project. Not many, like, small scooters have used in wheel hub motors before, and I think that's kind of innovative. And this is just something I explored because I strapped the motor to a scooter. I was like, hey, what if I put the motor inside the wheel? Such a technology exists. It's proven in cars. It's proven in larger, like, road-going scooters and motorcycles, but no one's made one this small. It's like, hey, what does it even work on this scale? And that's something I explored right here at MITRE's.
That's kind of amazing. When did that happen?
The Razor scooter was built more or less over the course of last year. Before I got to MIT in my senior year of high school, I put an put a really big brushless motor just on a regular electric scooter, and it was just insane. So after I came here, I was like, how can I make it more practical so I can actually, you know, use it to go around campus? And that's where the idea of the wheel motor began. This is a big chunky thing. I was like, what if I could make it smaller and put it inside a wheel? And this is like the third iteration of the design and one that finally functions. And if I didn't trash the motor by doing too many curb hops, I'd let you ride it.
Doesn't work right now?
Not at the moment. It's mechanically junked. But yeah, there's some innovation for you. Taking a tangent off an idea and making it bigger. In this case, smaller.
I think you were mentioning before one of the cool things about places like MITRE is that different people come in with different stuff and put it right next to each other, so you can kind of like squint, take a step back, and be like, those guys can hang out, and like mix new things in your head. Let me think. Is there anything else we need to talk about? What some questions you want to ask?
What happens after MITRE's?
That is a good question. I'm a little afraid to graduate because that would mean losing my little IRL like type deal. I have to face IRL, not ERS. And in IRL, things are a lot more rigidly defined and proceduralized and boring.
Does it have to be like that?
I don't know. Honestly, like, I could go off and, like many people from MITRE's before me, I could spin off my own company, and it would kind of be like a spiritual extension, like just innovation. I honestly don't know. I should probably start thinking about that, considering I'm a junior.
Do you want to take a look around and see more projects? Cool. Do you want to show us anything? Does anything move at all?
Either one of these?
Yeah. I want to see the
back. I could, move this. Problem is, it'll probably shoot off over there and cause damage. But yeah, you can
take...
Yeah, so...
I think that's one of the coolest things that I saw.
This is wireless.
Is
this wireless?
On the cart, yeah.
Okay, sweet. All right.
I want to make one of these, dude.
Yeah, so one of the things that I think is actually kind of innovative about this cart in particular is that it actually has a rear differential. So what the differential does, you know, in a car is allows the wheels to turn at different rates so you can go around corners. Yeah. Most go-karts just use a solid axle. And they do this just for, because they're almost essentially operating in like drifting and burnout stage for like kart racing. I originally was going to do that, but decided to go for a slightly more civilized version. And also to, just as an engineering exercise, could I make a differential that doesn't use bevel gears? The deal with bevel gears is that they're extremely expensive to make and hard to align accurately. And so I thought about it for a while and came up with what's called a planetary differential that only uses spur gears. A variant of this is seen in four-wheel drive limited slip systems that use helical gears for friction. So this is just a very simple version. And the motor drives the casing of the differential and it allows the two wheels to operate more or less independently of each other. So if I turn one wheel, you see the motor turns, but the other one doesn't. So that allows independent operation. And it makes the turning a lot smoother.
That's really cool.
And it, like I said, it's just an engineering exercise. It's not necessarily helpful.
Can we check out the face mask hack real quick?
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
I think that's awesome.
Oh, man.
You're like a mosquito.
Oh, shit.
Was that really necessary?
You need a drink while breathing.
It's really hard for this thing to stay on.
Yeah, you need to tape it on or get better rubber bands.
Yeah, actually.
Cool.
All right, so did you guys get, like, shots of the shop area yet?
No. You want to give us a tour of the
Yeah,
shop.
Sure. So, all right.
Like, yo, check this out. This is what goes on.
John Goodman.
I brought you souvenirs, but I'll wait till you're done with your...
Souvenirs. Uh-oh.
This is a Jackie Kennedy. Give me a tour of the
lighthouse. Jackie Kennedy?
Yeah, try to make sure it's hanging out over here.
Cool.
Normally we talk with people in button-up shirts. What is this with you in a t-shirt? This is not
I hate
cool.
button-up shirts.
Yeah, don't wear button-up shirts.
Yeah. Right. So...
Do you think this is something that it would be okay for him to be looking at the camera for?
Sure.
Legal for what?
I think this is something that it's okay to be looking at the camera because then it's like a first-person observer.
Right, okay. Yeah. All right. So, welcome to MITRES. We are right next to the MIT Museum. In fact, sometimes we go over and steal the free food, but let's not talk about that. So, this is just a room in an old converted industrial building that MIT took over sometime, I don't know, in like 1950 or something. And so, essentially, this is the front half of the space. It's for project work, material storage, and just, you know, whatever we bring in at the time just happens to be here. Over there, we have parts on shelves, we have people's personal projects, storage areas. And so moving on here, around here we keep like tools and stuff like that. All the hand tools are organized in their own little system. Wrenches hang from here, all the good stuff. And the back half of the room is probably the most interesting. Excuse me, please. So over here is our small machine shop area. These are older, like academic hand-me-down machines that now we use to great effect, I think. We have a small metal lathe, a bandsaw, drill press, and the milling machine back there, which is one of our greatest assets. And over here, we have an electrical engineering section, which has all kinds of electronic components, you know, surface mount, through-hole, transistors, diodes, capacitors, resistors, oh my. Oscilloscopes, power supplies, signal generators, you know, cool stuff like that. And this is where the electronic part of your projects happen, or if your projects are electronic, this is where it happens. We also have like chip burners and programmers and all the good stuff.
We also have anything but standard hardware. You can find anything, it's not common.
Yes, because we inherit a lot of our stuff just from junk piles, we have a lot of non-standard, rare, old things. But yeah, this is MITRES.
SDG.
Yeah.
What's up now?
Well, we have a ride that'll be coming to pick us up, so we can either. Just get some project shots, like people working, because we don't have enough of that. Just some interviews. And then, does anybody else want to talk about projects?
Hey, yeah.
What's your name?
I'm John, but I'm not an artist.
Hey, Don, you got a shoulder pad.
Oh, pull off Amy's bike.
Yeah, I definitely want to talk to Amy about the bike, because that thing is awesome.
I want to ride it.
The bike that you ride it everywhere is awesome.
What were these souvenirs you spake of?
The what's it called?
Should I hit stop or something? Or?
You just stop.
Okay.
You don't have to stop.
What were these souvenirs you spake of?
Oh, yeah. One is a magazine, which stories about the history of battery use in electric vehicles. The other is something that someone gave me, but I thought you'd find more interesting since you're more of a robots person than I am. If you know anyone who's more of a robots person than you, you should feel...
Pass
them out. I don't know if robot trading cards are.
Oh, shit! Battle Boss trading cards. I've always wanted these.
Well, that was two years worth. And this is the same person that gave me those. That's amazing.
Dude, I know the guy who like made these things.
The cards?
Yes.
Huh. Because the
I've always wanted them, but like I never went and got them.
Well, you might be too embarrassed to ask for them. You might have to ask them. So I don't know. I don't even know what they are. They're just like
they're combat
baseball
robots.
Cards, but
they're like baseball cards, but with combat robots.
Huh. Well, I think that's 2008-2009.
Yep, it's
pretty. I could probably get you 2010 when they're issued.
That's amazing.
And this probably came from Rumble Games.
Yeah, the people who do Rumble Games. I met one of the women. Well, I don't know how many women there are, but her name is Simone.
I know, yes, I talk to her online all the time.
Oh, okay, yeah. Oh,
I know the Robo Games crowd. I just haven't made it out there because it's so far.
Yeah, well, there she said she's getting ready for this year's Robo Games.
Yeah.
I met her. She's a friend of mine. I met her in San Francisco.
EVs. So. The very first cars and the very last cars.
The very next cars.
And this even had hub motors.
So this, yeah,
oh,
I asked about this differential, how is the differential if you turn clockwise and on the other one turns counterclockwise in the same direction?
Yeah, why?
Well, that's what I thought to do. Is that
correct?
Yes. But you're saying it's not necessary. Well, is that just for those as well, or are they just uncoupled in some
way? No, they're coupled, and they do exactly what differentials are supposed to do.
That's interesting.
I said go-karts generally don't use them because they're like just always sitting around.
Skidding.
They're always essentially operating on three wheels.
Two of which are hopefully in the front. So this is... Is this in fact without precedent as far as you know? Did you make the differential this way?
Oh, no, it's definitely with precedent. It's just this one I made.
Yeah. No, it's kind of... I mean, it looks...
And it's closer.
It looks straightforward enough. What would there be any
extremely simple.
Yeah, and why bother to make double gears? I had a problem trying to line double gears, so I can appreciate your observation. They're not easy to line. But what does this
happen?
I mean, what does this
mean? Well, it's an open differential. So if one wheel gets in the air, the other one doesn't do anything. Also, it makes burnouts really, really lame because one wheel just goes off into space and the other one stays there.
But
wouldn't
that be true of any differential?
Huh?
Isn't that true of any differential?
Right. True of any non-limited slip differential. Okay. You could conceivably modify this speed limit.
Yeah, the limited slip is not inherently
in here. It is not. It's either clutches, hydraulics, or some other jazz that goes on. Well, the torsion differentials are in the gears. But this design isn't really a torsion pipe. It's just a planetary pipe.
So,
torsion,
what is the...
Torsion is like just like a name for a different planetary differential. It uses 45-degree helical gears. So, whereas these two spanning gears are facing parallel, and of course, they're meshing just like this. And that spiral is what provides a friction such that if this wheel, like if one wheel, the slipping wheel gets any torque at all, the other one will get that torque times the multiplication power, which depends on the angle of the gears.
So, like, it's just one.
If it's 45 degrees, that 1 to 1 is like 60 degrees, like whatever the crap that is.
Yeah. That's interesting. And that's also people can.
Yeah, and yeah, it's more or less. Optimally, I have a walking motion. I love it.
Optimally, you would like to have.
Right.
Could this be?
This could conceivably be modified to be a locking differential. I just haven't done any engineering work.
That's cool. I'll be back. I know we should go.
Alright. Well, that was it.
Sorry.
No. I was just going to touch on
our ride is coming, so we should shoot this bike. And I definitely want to shoot the Tetris ball out there.
Your tape recorder is still recording.
Oh. Okay.
Don't get that.
All the secret things you just said.
Hello? Wait, who's wearing...
Who's holding the microphone?
I was.
Where is it?
It's on.
Ah. All right, see. Are you ready? Okay, cool.
So there must be useless
versions
of what?
Not
that I've seen. Have a DJ.
I mean, not robot.
Wait, what is this? Team
Moon?
They're robot trading cards.
That's pretty hilarious. We have some stickers from other hackers. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. I had a class. I have a class, and they passed around a chip which cross-section was, like, that big.
Damn, was it, what material was it?
Steel.
Steel, was it nice and, like, blue and, like, beautiful?
I mean, it was so old. It, like, had, there was, like, a layer of rust on it, but it was just, like, this curl about that long.
Let's do it right in front. Okay. There's, no light. I love, like, when you're turning
something like steel, and you just get that beautiful, like, blue.
Yeah.
So awesome.
Is this a bronze ball bearing?
Ooh.
That's fancy.
Yeah, and not that practical. Wait, this is the good side.
This is the good side.
Because it has the chain.
But I got reimbursed for it. Sweet.
So, I guess, what are we looking at, and how much of it is handmade?
So, this is my small bike project. Most of the parts were designed, let's see, so I guess we can just go from top to bottom. I made these components. This is off a Razor scooter. I made these components. Everything here except for the cranks. I guess, yeah, all of these structures. I didn't make the chainring or the cranks or the bottom bracket stuff inside. I designed and made everything here except for this clamp, which also came off a Razor scooter, and I made everything else here. And the wheels came off of some little bike for like 10-year-olds, 5-year-olds, I don't know, little kids.
Did you water jet the...
Yeah, these are water jet. These are water jet with just a little bit of finishing to bore out the holes to the right size. This piece, this clamp, and this stem right here were all done on a Bridgeport.
So why did you make a tiny bike?
Because I had tiny wheels.
Because it was adorable! It's adorable.
I made a tiny bike because I had tiny wheels. A lot of people ask me whether or not it folds, and
it does
look like
a folding bike.
It does this.
Oh, yeah.
And then it does this. And then I figure I don't really want to fold it much smaller. And plus it's nice because, I don't know, I've actually never owned a folding bike, but secretly I suspect that everyone who owns one never actually folds it anywhere. And really?
I've been traveling with one.
Oh.
30 days on a folding bike.
Yeah, it's been pretty amazing.
I feel like people who just like go to work and things like that in a folding bike wouldn't actually fold
it. It's only cool if you have a subway system that during rush hour requires you to fold it to bring the bike on.
I see.
That's what's actually useful, like for that situation.
And when you're on the airplane,
or
30
on the airplane. 33,000 feet in the air.
Yeah.
By the way, do you have like when we're done with the camera?
Okay, cool. So do we? Okay, you
just
built it because you had tiny wheels.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And do you use it to get around?
I use it to go everywhere that's kind of close by. So all my classes when I'm late, grocery shopping, pretty much a lot of things.
That's pretty cool.
I guess this is a stupid question, but why didn't you just buy a small rig?
They cost a lot. This cost me nothing. All of this was just trash. So, but also, like, it's no fun to ride around something that you can buy. This is much more satisfying. It's different. It's unique. It's custom. It's also, like, because I built it, I understand it. So I know how to ride it so it won't break. If it breaks, I know exactly how to fix it because I made it in the first place. And I don't know, you learn a lot doing something like this. So
that's awesome. Well, I guess, where do you come from? And do you have a hacking space in your hometown? Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So I guess we should have done this earlier, but what's your name? Where are we? And what are you holding?
My name is Amy. I'm from San Jose, California originally, but right now we are standing in Mitres. And this here is a project I finished, about 6 months ago, I think. And it is a small bike.
Cool. I'm afraid someone's outside looking for us right now. Let me see.
Okay. many phones.
Oh, yeah, it's not mine. Just make sure if he calls. Is that him?
Do you have any,
Okay, yeah, do you want to ride it?
Yeah. I can actually, I'll ride it up the ramp for you.
Okay, outside. Great. Can you actually ride it up the ramp without getting off?
Yeah. Hold on, let me I don't know the lights on. I'll show you how I normally come to Mitres.
Awesome.
Should I give this to him?
Well, you know what? We'll need a battery. Just died. All right, we'll switch batteries and we'll get Peter playing Tetris. Can you grab a battery? I'll plug this into Peter. Thanks.
Uh-oh. Battery's dead.
Oh, the battery here is dead too. Shoot. I want to build a big robot.